I want to talk to you a little bit about my friend, the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine what life would be without him. And if I, over the next few weeks, can do an adequate job of talking to you about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he means to me and what he can be to you, so that you can connect and so that you can experience what I get to experience every single day, then it'll be the greatest joy in my life. You know, I was born to amazing parents, already in the ministry. when I was 6 years old, there was a gospel singer that came to our church in Maryland. We were in Maryland, right outside of Baltimore, for about 3 years. And so this gospel singer sang this song, "You Must Be Born Again." You must be born again. His name was Willie Murphy. And I remember asking my mother, "What does that mean? What does that mean to be born again?" And she told me. She told me that to experience the best life with God, to be part of his family, that you had to receive Jesus. You had to be born again to experience him, that Jesus would come in and fill my heart. And so that was like, that was a big yes for me. And so at the age of six, I gave my heart to the Lord, and maybe didn't understand everything that meant, but I just knew I needed to be born again. And so a number of years later, when I was probably about 10 or 11, we were at a meeting in Aniana. And there was a very prophetic a person that was there, but he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. So I knew I'd received Jesus into my heart, but I'd never heard about the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 19, Paul showed up at a place called Ephesus. And there were some believers there, and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We've never even heard about the Holy Spirit." And so he talked to them about it, and then he laid hands on them, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. We'll talk about that kind of thing later. But, you know, it's possible to go your whole life having believed in Jesus, but never having experienced the Holy Spirit, and to be filled with the Spirit of God so that you experience him every day. And that's where I was when I was 10 or 11. And so as I heard that, I went up because I wanted to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, in Acts chapter 6, or maybe chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria, and, you know, there he preached Jesus to them. They believed. They were baptized, but they still hadn't experienced the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John came later and laid hands on them. And so here are these new Christians that then got filled wonderfully with the Spirit of God. It was amazing. What changed in my life was slowly I began to learn how to hear the voice of God. I began to experience him in my prayer life at night. Like I would pray every single night. And there would be times that the Spirit of God would pray through me and pray about things and show me things that I didn't even know would happen or could come. But I was very limited in my knowledge of the things of God. Thank you, Father. But he's always been there to protect me. He's always through. Listen to me, young people. because of receiving him at 10 and 11, he was there to help me avoid problems as a teenager. He was there to keep me out of the wrong relationships. He rescued me from some bad decisions. There were times, because of the Spirit of God that was there, as I wanted to do something or as I was going to make a decision a certain way, that there would be this very strong, "You better not do that." And I found out later that if I had gone that direction, that it would have derailed me for a number of years. It's because of the Holy Spirit and because of what today I want to set this up. I want you to understand just how good he is and what he can do for your life and what he means to me. I'm just making it really, really, really personal today, and I'll kind of talk about some scripture as we go through it. But one of the things that Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would do when he comes, and let me tell you why this is important. When John the Baptist came on the scene, John the Baptist, right before Jesus ever started his ministry, John the Baptist, you can see this in Matthew chapter 3, but as he was baptizing people in water, they were coming to the Jordan River to be baptized. They were repenting of their sin. They were confessing and all of this, and they were being washed in the Jordan River. But John said, "There's going to be coming somebody after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to hold, to latch, to touch. I come baptizing you with water, but he's going to come and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Like the first, get a hold of this. The first declaration of what Jesus was going to do, the purpose for his coming, was to be a baptizer. Was to take his children and to pour out his Spirit on them. That's one of his chief functions. That's the first thing that John spoke about him. This is important. The Holy Spirit, and so as we go through this, I just want you to understand the importance, how you can live in such closeness with the Lord. You can walk with him. It's not about just what you read in your Bible. It's not reading about him. You can experience him. Every single day. If what you believe, listen to me very carefully. If what you believe, if what you read, if it doesn't take you into an experience with him, then all you have is religion. Jesus didn't come to create the religion of Christianity. Jesus came so that you would have relationship with him. Jesus came that you might know God, not know about him, not intellectually know him. That word "know" is the way that a husband and a wife, they know each other. They know each other intimately. They experience each other. Jesus came so that you could experience God at that level every single day. One of the things that Jesus said, and we'll get into scripture over the next few weeks, John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about some of the things that he's going to do. But one of those things is he said he will guide you into all truth. Like, it is awesome to have your personal tutor, your personal teacher, your personal, like, every day, like, when you open up the Bible for it to come alive to you, what's in the Word of God cannot be understood with your brain. Can I show you that? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Hallelujah. You know, if some of this is new to you, one of the things that we get to do is pray in the Spirit. We'll talk about all of those kinds of things, but the Holy Spirit will actually pray with you. It's awesome to be able to speak in a language that you've never cussed in. Never say a cuss word in. Never say a negative thing in. Praise God. It's amazing. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You naturally, apart from God, cannot receive and experience the things from God. You can't understand them. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. What's that word know again? It's talking about experience. So it's not just you can't have knowledge of them. It's you can't experience the things from God in this natural realm. You can't do it. It says because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. Look at verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now look at verse 16. Oh, this is awesome. For, and he's quoting a verse, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 40, there was this understanding that before Jesus, who could know the mind of God? And today, sometimes people say the same things. Well, who can know what God's going to do? Well, who can know the will of God? Not natural man. Nobody can naturally. Like, are you tired of making wrong decisions? Are you tired of trying to do something, but then something kind of hits that you weren't expecting to happen and you never saw it coming? He's like, I'm just tired of this. I wish I could make right decisions all the time. I feel like that this morning that there are people that feel like that maybe that they've wasted some time in their life because they've made wrong decisions because it didn't turn out the way that they thought that it was going to and you couldn't see far enough. But look at this next phrase. But, read that with me, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Now, if we were to go back up, and I'm not going to right now, but if you were to go back up into verses 9 through 12, he's talking about the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God guides you into all truth, that the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. You know what? I guess since this is an introduction to this about the Spirit of God, let's read through it. Because in verse 9, what it does say here, thank you, Father. Lord, you're so good. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This was the condition of you. This was your condition. This was my condition before the Spirit of God was available. This was the condition of all humanity before Jesus came, before Jesus was the baptizer, that no man, eye could not see naturally, ear could not hear and know. The heart of man couldn't even know the things that God was wanting to prepare for his people. We had no access into it and no understanding of it. But look at the next verse here in verse 10. But God, somebody say, but God. That's awesome. But God has revealed them to us how? Through his Spirit. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, will guide us into all truth. He's the one that leads. He's the one that guides. But if you're not filled with him, if you've not received him, then you're missing a vital component to your life. A lot of Christians just they know that their eternal destination is secure. They're going to heaven. And they'll even pray, God, bless me here on the earth. God, help me. And those kinds of things, without realizing that Jesus said that there is another comforter. There's another helper that I'm sending to you who will lead you and who will guide you. And you can experience him every single day. Look, he's revealed them, the things that he's prepared to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God knows what's in the heart of God for you. Somebody say, for me. There are some things that God has for Wendy that he doesn't have for me. God, it's not just that God's a one-size-fits-all, that Jesus is just a one-size-fits-all. He created you, and he knows that he can tailor-make your destiny for you. My friend, the Holy Spirit leads and guides into all truth. It was him that the day, and I've told the story before, that I didn't think that I'd ever find a wife. I didn't think that anybody would ever want to date me, that I had a low self-image. I'd gone through, you know, the girl that I thought I was going to marry had blindsided me and said she wanted to start dating other people, but I was going to be her main guy. Like, that doesn't work for me. And I, at 17 years old, had already started losing hair and was very, very skinny. And it just, you know, there was nothing physically that, like, I just, it would never happen. But when I was reading in Proverbs one day, and there was a verse that says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. My friend, the Holy Spirit highlighted that verse to me to say, as long as you see yourself this way and as long as you view yourself this way, which is not the way I've created you to be, that's what everybody else is going to see. He was able to lead me and to guide me into the truth of my situation, into the truth of who I am, into the truth of the Word of God, that in a moment changed the course of my life. In a moment changed my destiny. In a moment set me up to trust him and to trust the Lord in such a way that just 6-7 months later, I was able to meet Jennifer. And God did exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. But it's because I listened to him. What if I had young people listen to me? What if I had said, you know what? I'm just going to keep dating. I'm going to do this on my own. I need to help God out. Instead of just trusting him to lead, to guide. See, that I became so familiar with him and trusted him and listening to his voice that I knew he was going to take care of me. And man, was it worth the wait. Praise God. And so, Jennifer's not here to confirm it, but she will be maybe next week. Just depends on if I can pull her away from the grandbaby or not. But we have lived our lives by faith, trusting in the Holy Spirit. Every house that we, you know, we've lived in two different houses, but we just, God said, now's the time. Look over here. Let's do it this way. We've done it with every major decision in our life. When money, when, you know, the first 5, 6, 7 years of our marriage was very difficult for us financially. We lived at poverty level. We didn't know from one week to the next if we were going to have money or not. But we had this peace and this comfort on the inside of us that comes only from the Spirit of God. Jesus calls him the Comforter. He's the one that brings peace. He's the one that in turmoil, when Jennifer's father passed away back in 2014, you know, that even though it was a difficult time for her, that as her father went to heaven and now there's you know, he's not here. And yeah, she cried night after night after night. Even in the midst of that, the peace of God, the comfort of God was there. You know, there are some people that live their whole lives with grief. They live their whole lives, like when the moment a loved one dies, or when they lose something, or when they lose a job, or when some traumatic event happens in their life, that what happens is they get stuck in that moment. They get stuck in that and they can't move past that. The Holy Spirit is your helper to move you into the destiny that God has for you. I said that He has a destiny tailor-made for each and every one of you. You know, I lived a number of years just kind of doing life and not seeking sometimes after the things of God, and church was routine for me, and I just went through the motions. Even though I was serving here at church and all of that kind of thing before I ever pastored here, I kind of stepped back from spending time with my friend, the Holy Spirit. I stopped praying. I stopped reading. I just went through life. And so things were just blah. Things were just difficult. Why? Because in the Spirit, there's life. Following after Him produces and brings you into the greatest life ever. The Bible tells us that even the love of God, if you want a revelation of the love of God, and the love of God does so many things in your life. It'll cast out fear. It'll give you confidence. It'll give you boldness. It'll cause your faith and your trust in Him to elevate at such a level that you can step out when God says to do something and not fear what the end result's going to be. That's when you know that somebody cares for you so much. Now listen to this. My children know that I'm going to take care of them. My children being raised up, if they didn't know what to do, they came to their father. If I said, look, we're going to go do this, they trusted me. They knew that, yeah, I don't need to know what the outcome is. I know that my dad is going to take care of me. And so there's a trust because they have an experience. They know me and they've experienced my love. Does that make sense? Right? And to this day, many times they'll call me, Dad, would you pray for me? Dad, what's this? What should I do here? They trust me. But a true revelation, listen to me, child of God, the true revelation of the love of God will only come from the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, it says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When I was 42 years of age, the Spirit of God began to talk to me about pastoring. Never wanted to pastor, never planned on it, and even if it had ever been a thought in my mind, then at 42 years of age, that had passed me by. And I was just doomed to live life the way that I was living life. And the Spirit of God says, I want you to pastor. I want you to pastor. If I had not gotten to the place, if I didn't know Him, it had been a long time since I'd heard His voice because of just where my focus was. But if I didn't know it was Him, if I hadn't experienced Him throughout my life, I might have just thought, well, that's a wild thought. I'm not going to do it. But I knew that it was the Spirit of God. How did I know? Number one, I had history with Him. Number two, the Bible says, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers. Somebody say rivers. Rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, what does rivers of living water does? As it comes out, it gives life to every area of your life. That there's no area, your job, your family, your marriage, your future, your calling, your gifts. Yeah, but I've messed up. I've screwed up. Man, do you know that the Bible is full of God redeeming people, taking people like Saul, like David, like Rahab, the prostitute, like different people like that, and putting them into the lineage, you know, with David and Solomon and people, the lineage of Jesus Himself. Just look at who Jesus chose to be his disciples. I would not have chosen Peter, who ended up denying the Lord three times. But at least he was close enough to deny him. The rest of them had scattered out. And yet these are the ones he turned around. And even though they were these scaredy cats, these people that were afraid for their lives, something happened 50 days later on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus himself baptized them, just poured out the Spirit of God on this group of 120. You look at Acts chapter 2. Something miraculously transformed their lives. And they were changed in a moment from people who denied the Lord, people who were holed up in a house, to people now who would go out and boldly proclaim the gospel. And that day, as a result of what happened on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit being poured out, 3,000 people got saved. Child of God, you are the catalyst for somebody else's salvation. You have influence in people's lives, in your family's lives, that God wants to lead you and to guide you into ways, into places where you are actually working alongside God to bring people into the kingdom. Not to bring people to the church so I can bring them into the kingdom. I know we've created this model that you invite them to come so Pastor Mark can do the job. But the fact of the matter is, you are called to make disciples. A disciple makes a disciple, and that disciple makes another disciple, and that disciple, and that means that you have to be involved in people's lives. You have to build relationship. You have to get down where they are and love them where they are and lift them up to where Jesus is. Holy Spirit is the one that helped you do that. We'll talk in weeks to come about all kinds of things. Let me kind of bring some of this to a close with this introduction this morning. Thank you, Father. 42 years of age, the Spirit of God says, pastor this church, which had been on the decline, which had been, had had a tough 20 years, which was now just less than 50 people, and certainly not very many that were my age or younger. And so I knew it was the Spirit of God. And so I said yes to the Spirit of God. What I did not know by just saying yes to him, listening to him, is that I was going to step into what would be the most fulfilling assignment, gifting, whatever that is, purpose of my life. Spirit of God knew. Spirit of God knew what God had ordained for me from the foundation of the world to walk in. I didn't know. At 42 years of age, I didn't know. I couldn't know naturally. You go to college, you think, man, this is what I want to do. At 22, 23, man, this is what I want to do. Why do you think people change majors so many times? Because they can't figure out. They don't know what it is that's going to fulfill them. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God knows. Why waste your life like I did for 20 years trying to figure it out when the Spirit of God, if you'll just listen to him, will lead you and will guide you? My friend, the Holy Spirit moved me into a place. And then as a result of saying yes to him there, he began to talk to me about pastoring the church, about how to help people, how to minister to people. And listening to his voice has become the greatest joy of my life. The greatest joy of my life. Hebrews chapter 3 says, today, if you hear his voice, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, don't harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice. Let me finish this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 10, God has revealed them his plans, his purposes, his design, his desire to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit teaches or searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one can know the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that for this purpose we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then finally, let's look at Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, thank you, Father. In verse 28, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, I just wanted to just give you an introduction, because this month we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to by a number of different names. One of the things that he does is he reveals and he points you to Jesus. That's his primary function. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He's really drawing you attention to Jesus and who he is. Okay? But he is called the promise of the Father. He is called the gift of God. He is the gift that God wants you to have. God has gifted you, get this, God has gifted you with himself. God has given you the most amazing gift.